Welcome, everyone. This is Roots Interfaith. I'm your pastor, Ivy Rivera, psychic medium. I'm a Taino Arawak school called the Ivy League Psychic Academy, where I train people internationally in everything ranging mediumship development to tarot, numerology, astrology, paranormal work, you name it, we do it. We hope to see you there for classes. If you're tuning in here tonight for the first time, I am here with Reverend Christina Del Rey. I do want to explain Roots Revival Interfaith. We focus on the three truths in the universe. That's intuitive intelligence, astrology, and numerology. We believe that if you understand the languages of these three, you'll understand your path in life, you'll understand how to receive the healing that you need, and ultimately to be stronger in going out and healing and helping others around you to do the same for themselves. And we are an interactive church, so we encourage you guys to post your questions, your comments, and you should start posting your prayer and healing requests now. Donations are appreciated. And I do want to ask everybody to take a second right now to give this video a thumbs up, subscribe, and leave a comment. If you are on TikTok at Ask Ivy and you're having any kind of technical issues, switch over to YouTube at Ask Ivy and vice versa. So today we are talking about taking alone time. Spirit showed me the other day, this was supposed to be the sermon topic for this week, and I cannot tell you how many clients, friends, acquaintances have brought this topic up since that day and have said, I'm burnt out. Something's wrong with me. You know, I'm super irritable. I'm lashing out at people. I feel really depressed and sad. I am totally numb, you know, whatever it is. And everybody has said, I think I just need to be alone for a little while. And I'm like, bam, there it is. There it is. We live in such a tight-knit world. I don't care if you live out in the middle of nowhere, okay? In the middle of nowhere, you are probably still connected through social media and whatnot to so much activity involving others. And it really isn't a healthy way of living, even though we've adapted to it. And many of us know nothing different. Today, we're going to be talking about the different reasons we are so embedded in the company of others, why it's really not working, what are the indicators that you should be taking more alone time, and how you can do that more effectively. I'm going to go ahead and talk first, then we're going to give Reverend Christina the microphone here, and then we will be taking your questions and comments after that. So go ahead and start posting them now. So, if you are tuning in as a woman, you understand that if you grew up, especially in America, but this is common in most countries, that from the time you're a little girl, you're trained to believe that you are here to take care of other people. You are expected to allow others to invade your physical, mental, emotional space, and to cater to other people's needs, or to not speak up and say, I don't want you touching me. I don't want to talk right now. I'm not going to help you with that. You're considered a real B if you take that position in life. And it's not only getting shamed by the person who wants something from you. It's getting shamed by everyone who looks on, men and women alike. It's an outrageous, revolutionary position as a woman to say, I'm not giving you anything because I need my space, my energy, my time to myself right now. Really, really frowned upon. We are expected not only to take on other people's wants, needs, concerns, burdens, to such an extent in life that we're programmed into believing it's part of our personality. We don't even know when we're doing it anymore, but we are also expected to take on responsibilities that are in no way, shape, or form in our lane, in alignment with anything that we should be getting involved in. And we tend to not even notice then that it's happening, but people are more than comfortable to put that burden on us. They're pretty certain that if they bring a responsibility that is outrageous to a woman, that she will just sort of naturally is inclined to take it on. So you need to watch your bosses, the company that you work for. Let's not forget, we get paid less, okay, especially here in the States, that you're probably doing a ton more and getting paid a lot less for it. It's just expected of us. You're expected, if you get married, that's a bum deal, that women, 82% of women these days are not interested at all in cohabitation, long-term relationships, or marriage with a heterosexual male. So we found that we've been completely taken advantage of. It's like a slavery system in marriage, where you not only work a full-time job, but you're expected to do more care for the children, for the household, for any social, you know, engagements you guys may be involved in. You basically steer the ship the entire time. And again, it has just been expected because we have been so programmed, we don't identify when we're doing it. And so we even expect it of ourselves. Now, I want to say that for everybody, today's show is not just for women. This is about everybody. Tonight's sermon is for anyone who overextends. And there are a million reasons that may happen. But it is really important that we look back at our upbringing, at the programming that we received, the culture that we were raised in, and we figure out if this is a problem for us. So I want to say that for everyone, especially in America, which is a capitalistic dog-eat-dog society, we are so trained to believe that we have to work ourselves to death, that we don't use up our vacation time. Often, we're worried it's going to be a penalty against us. It's considered lazy or selfish for you to be taking mental health days, any personal space for yourself, just for your mental health. That's outrageous and unheard of. We are really trained to believe that these things are unaffordable and that we are at risk of losing our position at work if we take those. Now, we're seeing the Great Resignation go on right around this time, which is super exciting to watch in the revolution, where people are taking their space, their time, their energy, their valuing of themselves back, from the man. But it's going to be a long road before we've reestablished a new kind of society and way of living. And this is a great time for everyone to sort of study what's going on. If you have a friend or a family member or someone that you've watched pull away from their traditional role at work, where they were just driving themselves into the ground and they are now doing something far more fulfilling with their time, I think that this is someone you should study and look at the health, the mental, emotional, spiritual well-being of this person and the improvements that are being made, even if it isn't a perfect life for them yet. Maybe they did sacrifice some money, but now they're happier in so many other ways. I want you guys to post in the comment section if you're one of these people who has stepped out and taken that leap of faith in a new direction. We also find that we're not going to retire until we are just sick and polluted and too old to do anything fun, adventurous, exciting with our lives. Everyone talks about winning the lottery, or we talk about, you know, when I retire. And we find that that's a reality for very few people, that they will get to that place of happiness because of the cost of living. And we need to remember that we are going to completely and utterly sell ourselves out if we don't take the time that we need to live our lives now. We see that people who are in a work environment, especially empaths. Okay, any empaths here? The empathic awareness class is helpful to learn boundaries and blocking tools, but many of us empaths find ourselves in work environments, family environments, even social environments, being with your spouse or a lover, where we are so extremely drained from the presence of these other people, from accidentally overabsorbing other people's energy day in and day out, that we deteriorate to some really extreme levels. And we don't understand how to recoup our energy, how to reclaim our space. And we may have a lot of guilt over even wanting it. This is not at all uncommon. And I'm going to talk more to the empaths in the audience here a little bit later when I talk about solutions. But this is not uncommon to feel as though you don't want to be at the dinner table with your family anymore. You don't want to go to a social event. You don't want to sleep in the same bed as your spouse anymore. And a lot of this, well, that sounds funny, you know, getting your own bed, having your husband get his own room, like, well, that's funny. It's really not. If you look at the toll that it's taking, you may have been, and I can't prescribe diagnosed, but you may have been diagnosed or misdiagnosed with anxiety disorders and depressive disorders, OCD, ADD. And a lot of this is coming from overconsumption of other people's energy. You know, maybe you do actually need to get that spouse out of your bedroom. He could take the cats and the dogs and the kids with him. You know, if you are the kind of person who can't handle all of that, you're really going to show some significant signs of deterioration that are different from the average person. Okay, so this can come along with empathic ability. So we need to watch for that as well. Don't forget, there are four levels to empathic ability, and we increase over the years. Okay, we get more sensitive as we go up that scale. So I want to talk about some signs that you need alone time, all right? And alone time is not just about taking a little personal space, going and getting a coffee and going down, you know, to the water. It is not about going to the spa or taking a week's vacation, you know, with your family from your job every year. Getting alone time is a spiritual practice. It is spiritual hygiene. It is energy maintenance. It is mental health. It is your physical well-being. It is your emotional well-being. It is something you should be doing all day, every day as needed. It should not be a luxury that we occasionally visit when we have completely crashed and burn out or we're about to. Okay, so I want you to start thinking of it in a different way. So here are some signs that you need alone time. Number one, you're burnt out. What does it mean to be burnt out? It means that you cannot function anymore on a reasonable or high level. You are unable to process all of the stimulation that's going on in your life. Typically looks like depression. Number two, you have confusion or lack of focus. If you've ever tried to work on a project that was fairly simple, like, I don't know, paying the bills or driving to go do some errands, you know, just having a basic conversation about work. And you find that you literally can't focus and you're really confused and overwhelmed by the task. This could be a sign that you need some alone time. Number three, anger, aggression, irritability. This is my go-to. The minute I start biting other people's heads off, I know I'm done. I need to take some space for me. And even if I have been doing it, maybe I need more. So if you find that you are not able to react to people in a way that is thoughtful and mindful and coming from a high vibration, you are more reactionary, this could very well be an indicator. Number four, sadness, crying. emotional breakdowns, emotional meltdowns. You don't know why you're crying. You're just sad. Everything makes you sad. Everything seems sad. And life, even watching something that should make you happy, like kids playing, it reminds you of something terrible that happened to you as a child. Or, you know, you think of a worst case scenario, sort of Debbie Downer. You know, you're always putting a pessimistic twist on everything. Number five, sleep defiance. Oh my God, this is so, so, so important. If you lay down at night and you've been exhausted all day and you're like, thank God I made it to my bed. Just thank God I'm here. And then you can't sleep. Or, you know, you decide that you want to relax at night and that, you know, you're going to get maybe a few extra hours. You're going to have your cup of tea. You're going to unwind. And all of a sudden your mind is even more active, or you feel like you can't sit still. You have to get out of bed. Whatever the case is, sleep defiance is serious because you have not allowed yourself enough personal space. You have not allowed your mind and your soul, your spirit to play, to process life. And so it's going to try to do something fun, something out of the box, out of the ordinary. It's going to find a way to process and get what it needs when you're supposed to be sleeping. Okay. Number six, anxiety over shopping, having to spend time with your family, having to spend time with your children, having to do anything social. And you may love your friends. You may love your children. I'm sure you do. I'm sure you love your family. But this can be absolutely excruciating to think of having to do when you have not been taking enough alone time. You may have anxiety over dating, going into work. Heaven forbid you have to do something like big shopping, like go to the mall. This may make you feel immediately like, I'm going to just lay down and take a nap and cash out right here. I'm done. Number seven, lack of humor. Okay. And just not feeling yourself. I noticed this quickly right after I get irritated with people and I start snapping at people. I noticed that I have lost all sense of humor. I don't even enjoy putting on a show, a comedy or something that I've loved watching in the past, because humor annoys me. There is a loss of self and playfulness and your inner child, your ability to embrace joy and simplicity when you have not taken enough alone time. Number eight, no sex drive. Now, I know for a lot of us, that's never going to go. You know, you could always maybe squeeze it into the agenda. But if you notice that you really haven't thought about it for a long time, you know, that may be a sign too. That's fairly abnormal, you know, to go for extended periods and have no libido. And that is because your basic needs are not getting met. Okay. And this isn't one of the basic needs. Number nine, you feel numb. You feel nothing. You have a lack of interest in hobbies or projects or other things that you used to really enjoy doing. Especially, I want to say a big red flag is if you enjoyed working out, if it was always part of your routine, and then all of a sudden, just the idea of like going for a walk, getting your workout in is like such a burden. This may be a big red flag. All right, what can we do about it? I'm going to go over this list, and then Christina, I'm going to turn the mic over to you. Again, welcome. If you guys are tuning in late, this is Roots Revival Interfaith. We encourage you to post your questions and your comments. We're going to be getting to them as soon as Christina's done talking. I encourage you to also post your prayer and healing requests. Donations are appreciated. Please, everyone, give this video a thumbs up right now and drop a comment to get it moving in the algorithm and subscribe. Okay, what can we do about this? Well, number one, and this is really for my empaths out there, don't be afraid to keep your energy to yourself. I understand that as an empath, you feel obligated mentally, emotionally, energetically. Everyone feels that you're obligated, you know, to take your energy from you. You are embedded in a system of need and greed and a desire for healing. And you have to understand that it's up to you. You've held yourself accountable. It's your responsibility to say no. And I would say that you shouldn't not only, you know, be shy to say it to strangers and friends and family, but to your lover, to your spouse, to say in a situation, for example, like sleeping alone, that's something that you require for your own well-being, but it doesn't mean you could tell the other person that I love you any less, that I'm any less invested in this relationship. And you could say that to people at any time. Okay. I appreciate this job, but I'm going to have to pull back. You know, you say to your lover, I appreciate you very much, but I'm going to need more personal space, to be, better investor in this relationship so we can continue to grow. You know, you have to take time away from your children who are constantly needing, and not feel guilty about that. We talk about mother's guilt. You can't walk out the door to go to work without feeling guilt, you know, as a parent. And this is something we need to hold ourselves accountable for. Okay. So don't be shy to take the space that you need for yourself. Number two, I would highly recommend to everyone that you create your own me room. Now, I know that this may sound privileged and that this is a luxury for many people, but I would bet that even if you could just create a little corner in the bathroom, or if there's a small closet, or if it could be a corner of your bedroom, or if it could be a piece of the yard, or if it could be whatever, right? Some of us are going to be able to have an entire room to ourselves, and other people not so much, but can you create a space? You create a space that is for you and holds your energy and your intention, your manifestations, your connection to spirit by going there repeatedly. So reintroducing your energy and intentions to a space over and over and over again establishes that space as your own. Eventually, no one else will even go near it. Okay. So you want to create some room for yourself, and you want to visit it on a daily basis. Number three, meditate before you speak to anyone. I've been saying this now for 10 years. I've been dealing with the public, and I hear back from a lot of people that this really changed their life. And this is about waking up in the morning, the afternoon, whenever you wake up, whatever your time zone is, and deciding that before you get on social media, you answer your texts, you start dealing with anyone, you stay in your own energy, and you connect with your guides, with spirit, with your higher mind, with yourself for maybe 10 to 15 minutes. And receive any guidance that you're going to need for the day and get some ideas about what you should expect for the day. Get in touch with your own energy. This will help you to eliminate also that irritability that can come when you first wake up and you're just bombarded with other people, right? And all their needs, your to-do list so quickly. Meditate before you speak to anyone. Number four, learn to say no to things that are going to drain you, taking on extras. Take a good look, do an assessment on all the things you do, all your volunteer positions and whatnot. And take a look at your family, your lover. How can you delegate more? How can they take on more responsibility? How can you get yourself out of some of the workload that you do that really is not yours? Learn to say no and kill guilt. Because you're going to get kickback, you know, it's not just going to come from you. You're going to get kickback from those kids, from that lover, from that spouse, you know, from your boss. They're going to sweeten the deal and offer you a promotion, or, you know, they're going to get angry about it. Oh, well, sorry, Charlie. Okay. Boundaries are boundaries. You're going to start setting them. Number five, turn off your notifications for the love of God. Why do we want to know Every time something pops up on TikTok or someone's dropped you a message on Facebook, someone you don't even want to talk to, somebody you don't even like, you've got your text notifications, the phone calls, the emails, turn that junk off. You don't need to know. I run a business and I don't need to know. I know that we can designate times to look at all of that and to deal with all of that. If it is a stressor for you, you may not even know it because you've had them on for so long or for, you know, so many years. I had a guy I was dating recently say to me, why don't you text back? Why don't you text, you know, back in a reasonable amount of time? And I said, what, cock man oppressor, are you trying to control me? I was like, where's this coming from? Where's this? And then I realized he's not trying to control me. That was a genuine question. He has his notifications on for everything. And I will tell you, this is not a person who can engage. You know, he's not able to have meaningful conversations. He's scattered. He's stressed all the time. Those notifications alone are a problem. You can get to it when you can get to it. Number six, walk and talk to your higher mind and spirit only. Walking, I think of this as motion meditation. This is a great opportunity for you to be alone with yourself and allow for the flow of your higher mind to speak directly to you in a meaningful way and allow for you to channel spirit. So take walks by yourself and just listen to the thoughts that are coming in. Clairaudience. Okay, that's how spirit communicates. You're going to think it is your own thought, but it is really spirit talking directly to you or your higher mind. Number seven, journal. Journal out your thoughts. Journal out your day. Process what it is that you're feeling and going through. You don't have to understand what it is that you're going to write. In the same way that talking can help, you don't have to understand what you're going to say. Sometimes just talking to yourself helps a lot. But when we get in the flow, we can sort of identify the things that are happening and how they're affecting us emotionally, mentally, physically, energetically. And that's so important because we don't take enough personal space. We aren't really processing what's going on in our life. So this will piece the bigger picture together. Number eight, stop once a day to think and feel for a bit. This is sort of on the same note. I understand that there's a ton of push to meditate and get into deeper states and connect with the higher ups and this and that and the other. I think it's important and totally enjoyable to just sit in a dark room, to just allow your thoughts to go wherever they want to go. It does not have to be a deep state of meditation. There doesn't have to be a bigger purpose for it than to just sit alone and allow yourself to think and feel. Number nine, turn off the TV and go to nature instead. Turn off the media, the social media, and go to nature instead. I think if you were to take, you know, 10 to 20 minutes of your day to turn that off and to go barefoot in your yard or hug a tree or just sit outside and listen to the crickets or go down to the water, I think this would revolutionize your well-being. And number 10, pray for help if you're struggling with this. Ask your guides and your ancestors, your higher mind, God, how your angels, they're here to heal you. Ask them to show you ways that you can get more freedom and personal space in your schedule, especially if it is packed so tight, you literally think you cannot possibly find a way to get out on a regular basis. Ask them to show you how. Spirit has a way of just creating paths miraculously for you. Okay, it will happen. And I understand that our schedules can feel very much like prisons. And it's really sad when you start to feel that way about, you know, family and loved ones and social events and things that you once enjoyed and shopping. And, you know, everything feels like a prison to you because you're not taking enough alone time. So this is a really serious topic. And this is how spirit gets in, okay, is through your alone time. So it is sacred. Take it. We are going to switch over here to Reverend Christina, our astrologer. Again, if you guys are just tuning in, Please post your questions and comments now, as well as your prayer and healing requests. Christina.
So, you know, I do find that men typically do take more time for themselves than women. Women don't feel like they can allow it. And of course, there's exceptions to every rule, but you had a really good point. And we, you know, women, if you notice too, you know, and we're brought up this way to care for everybody's needs. They have, you know, I don't know the statistics, but tons of autoimmune disorders. That is the biggest thing right now, is autoimmune disorders. And it's predominantly women that have it. And you can see why, because, you know, they are not caring for themselves. They are caring for others first. Cancer is also another huge one for women. So this is coming out, you know, their health is falling apart, their mental well-being. And yet
Can I just interrupt on that real quick? I'm so sorry, but new research just came out that showed that something like 65% of women with autoimmune disorders who divorced and got away had a reversal.
Yeah, it's really amazing, because, you know, women take on so much. Yep. And especially empathic, you know, empaths. So, and I noticed too, you know, I'm a teacher, so, you know, I work around a lot of teachers, and, you know, you're caring for kids at school, and then you're going home and you're caring for kids there. So it's, you know, that is really tough. But healthcare workers especially have it, I think, the worst, because they're used and abused, and they don't even have really good healthcare themselves, even though they work in healthcare. And it's stressful, you know, they're overworked. And I just feel like, you know, we have really missed the boat on self-care in this country. It's terrible. And I just don't know, you know, why we're not more concerned about it and why we're not doing anything. We are just, as women, we also teach our children, you know, and we don't do it on purpose, but we teach our children the same things. And we really have to look at what we're teaching our kids, because, you know, you had a good point there when you said that, you know, we don't really teach kids boundaries, especially when it comes to relatives and things like that. You know, oh, go kiss your uncle. You know, he's here. Well, maybe I don't want to kiss my uncle. You know what I mean? And that was one thing I really tried hard not to make my kids do. I would say, well, go say hi, you know, and they would sheepishly like say hi, but that would be it. I wouldn't force them to hug and kiss anybody that they didn't want to, because, you know, you're just teaching them to go against their intuition. And we have to really be careful of that. In astrology, when we take time for ourselves, one of the things that, you know, we look to in astrology is the moon. Whatever your moon is, that tends to be your needs. And if you know your moon, then, you know, it's easy to research what your needs are. You have to really look at the sign. You have to look at the house. We do this in my course. But you know, your moon is tied to your soul purpose, but it's also tied to what you need as an individual emotionally, because the moon is our emotions. So, you know, for an Aries moon, maybe they need, you know, exercise or sports. Maybe that is a meditation to them. They need to be alone and do that in the moment. You know, a Cancer moon might need, a little space carved out in the house, like you were talking about. You know, a Pisces moon might need quiet communication with spirit, you know, just merging with spirit is, you know, plenty. A Taurus moon might need, a bath with lots of good smelling oils and salts and, you know, textures and things like that. So I would look to the moon, first to see what is going to rejuvenate you, because, you know, not everybody's taking time for themselves is the same. You know, if I say to you, you know, and I like to go in the hot tub. So if I'm like, go in the hot tub and have, you know, and you might be like, oh, I hate hot tubs. You know what I mean? So that might not be fulfilling for you, and everybody's a little bit different. And if you're not enjoying your alone time, if you are not, if it doesn't leave you feeling at least a little bit fulfilled, then you're not doing it right. So, you know, you shouldn't be, you know, running an errand. That's not, you know, time for yourself. So, you know, keep in mind what makes you happy, what is enjoyable to you, and then go do that. And that is usually indicated by the sign of the moon, the house of the moon, and any aspects it makes to any other planets make to your moon. Keep the times that you take for yourself like an appointment. Schedule it in your calendar. Actually, physically write it in, you know. A lot of times, especially when you have young children, there is no place you can go and hide in the house. There's just not even one crevice. They will find you. So, you know, you may need to be in your car. I am famous for having my car as my office and going into the car and spending, you know, 20 minutes either meditating or taking a class or just sitting there and reading something. But the car, you know, nobody's, you know, if you can even go park in a parking lot. I've done that before, but nobody's going to find you in your car. If it's too cold for the car, Starbucks, you know what I mean? I used to go to Starbucks a lot and I would you know, they knew me, they could tell my order right when I walked in the door, but I took a half hour for myself at Starbucks. You know, I got my coffee, I sat down, I had something to read in front of me. It was the best time ever in my day. It's what I look forward to all day long. And I tried to always schedule it in. I would, you know, I would keep it in the routine. Number one, keep it simple. It doesn't have to be, a night out partying every time you want to be alone. Just keep it simple. This is just for you. This is just for yourself. You know, make sure that you are, you know, connecting with spirit, connecting with your guides and doing something that you enjoy. I just happen to really enjoy reading. So that is like one of the things I like to do when I'm alone. Stay in the moment. If you are thinking about, you know, if you're thinking about tomorrow and, you know, all the things you have to do, that's not really alone time because now you're just worrying and you're in anxiety. So you really have to, and yeah, sometimes people like music too. I'm not a music person, so that doesn't really speak to me. But sometimes I can play light music in the background. But yeah, like stay in that moment. Keep your mind current on whatever is there. And that's going to, you know, that's going to feel the easiest to you. Make it an event you look forward to every day. I would make sure, you know, if you need, you know, everybody needs laughter in their life. Make sure you have some laughter in your life. Connect with spirit on a daily basis. Be sensual, you know, whether that be with your partner, but you know, or you just have things that are really nice near you that are, you know, that smell good or that you like looking at. I keep crystals around. Even when I go on the deck, one of my getaway places to have me time is the deck. And I put crystals out there and I have wind chimes and, you know, I set it up to look very spiritual and how I enjoy it. And then we, you know, then I have a place and I go out there and I feel calm and okay, you know, I'm in my spot and I don't need very long out there, but you know, I take my time. Ask yourself what will bring you peace? Because if you don't have peace, you're wasting your time. So if your home is not a peaceful place and you need another spot, you need to find whatever is going to bring you peace and wherever you can feel peace. And, you know, mental health days too. I have been known to call in and be like, you know what? I need a mental health day. Mm-hmm. And maybe you don't do anything. Maybe you sit and stare at the wall, but sometimes you just need to be out of that craziness for a little while because your brain can only keep up with so much crazy until it's too much. And another thing too, I think, is to be childlike. We forget to, you know, we're adults. We have so many responsibilities. We forget to be childlike and just, you know, see the world in a childlike, playful way sometimes. I mean, obviously, you know, we have to attend to all of our responsibilities during the day, but the time that you take for yourself is for yourself. So do something, you know, worth giving yourself, like bring yourself up vibrationally in that moment. And then you can go back to the rest of your day. And I would say get to know your moon, number one.
All right, right on. I just want to say off of what you said a second ago, Christina, about having it structured or like having it scheduled or like, you know, having it planned. I think this is where some of us are going to be a little shocked at how big an issue this is. The way that, you know, sometimes you are supposed to be focusing on yourself, taking some self-care, showing some self-love, and you refuse to do it because you start and then you get distracted with something else. So you start running errands, or you start getting back on your social media, or like, oh, I meant to do it. Well, I was going to do it. Well, I try, but I'm not good at it. Why are you not good at it? Dig deeper. That isn't healthy. Why is it that you won't give yourself the love, the care that you know you need? Be more disciplined in following through, sticking with the plan. And I think that if you really can't, and it's incredibly, incredibly uncomfortable for you, it may be time to speak to a therapist or do some shadow work, or, you know, look into why it is that you're sort of a destructive force against yourself. Because again, this is probably programming, could be from a past life, you know, which then trickles into this life. But I guarantee if you look at your history, maybe you came from a family that just worked themselves right to the grave, you know, and it's been so ingrained in you that that's selfish or lazy, and it affects your self-esteem negatively to do some self-care. Now, this can get really serious, and we have to examine the deeper issues here for sure.
Yeah, and we have to break those family curses too, you know, like we have to break that. Like our ancestors, they didn't know how. We know how. We have to put it into action. We have to break that, especially for the generation coming up, because you want your kids to do the same thing.
That's right.
You know, yeah. So, you know, you're teaching this generation.
Right. And look at colonization and look at how those that were enslaved did not have an option to take a rest. That was deadly. This is serious. This gets passed down. These are the real generational curses, generation to generation, people who don't know how to love and take care of themselves. We are going to have to take it back, take our power back. And I just wanted to say on the note of numerology, you know, we talk a lot about big opportunities when we see the number one following us around and 1111 make a wish, but it's also a number of solitude. You know, it could be an indicator, not that you're coming into some big winning, but more that you need to be alone. We see with the number five, for example, that you have major change going on in many different areas of your life. Who's been seeing patterns of number five or four? Okay, that's big change in one significant area. These are numbers that may indicate you need more alone time and personal space to balance better. When we see that we're in a great period of time to connect with others, network, you know, maybe a soulmate has just come in. This is a time for romance. We're going to see a lot of number twos following us around, but that's not the most common thing to see. It's not all the time. So keep in mind the numbers that are following you as well. All right. I will say also just from, you know, psychic, mediumistic, empathic experience that your intuition has a way of letting you know and kicking your butt when you have really crossed that line or you're about to, and you need to pull back and get alone. And that can come with a burning up at the back of your neck, your upper shoulders, tightening back there. It can also come from ear ringing, especially in the right ear, like an incessant tinnitus, and a lot of nightmares, sleep disturbances, stress dreaming, you know, battling things out, or repeat dreaming. You just do the same thing over and over and over and over again, and you're getting nowhere. These are all indicators. All right. So we do want to get on to our questions and comments. Wesley, our producer, I'm going to have you pop those up. I lost my glasses, so I will do the best that I can in reading them. I do want to encourage you guys too, if you haven't already done so, leave your prayer and healing requests. Donations are appreciated. Rochelle says, this is so me lately. Yes. I think it's a lot of us for sure. Then we have Jessica Castro says, these suggestions are so great. I love listening to music while driving with the windows down and singing loud. Do we also have some comments and questions from TikTok? Coming in. So Jessica says that she feels it when she's driving and being able to sing. And that's such a great release. I think that's another great example of motion meditation.
Yeah, I think I walk all the time and meditate. And also sometimes my drive to work is my meditation. Sometimes I just shut the radio off and just kind of, you know, connect with spirit and just kind of enjoy my time alone before I see everybody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know what I would do without my walks. Mm-hmm. Okay, do we have another one? It's funny too, because sometimes I'll take a walk like earlier in the day. Mm-hmm. And then by late at night, like after I'm done with work and dealing with clients, like everything, I'm like, I'm going to need another one.
Two a day, usually what I do.
Yep. All right. Looks like have we popped everything up? Wesley has another one here from Tyshawn from TikTok. Oh, good. Here we go. We're going to do some engagement here with TikTok on the YouTube screen. Perfect. So Tyshawn from TikTok, definitely seeing those numbers. Okay. So that's really interesting. And I think we misread, you know, so much about numerology. We misread so much about symbology. And we can intuitively, you know, feel a lot of energy, assume that it's positive, but not have that discernment and that wisdom in the detail to understand that it could be more of a warning. It could be more of a call to balance or a call to pull away and be observant, you know, but not engage. So yeah, those numbers are really common to see. Yolanda Fisher says this was right on time.
Spirit always is.
Spirit knows, right? How to take personal time, how to take alone time is right on time. Yeah, it definitely was. I saw that immediately. Okay. And do we have any other questions or comments, especially from TikTok? I do want to encourage you guys, again, if you haven't already done so, post your prayer and healing requests. Christina and I will be praying over them over the course of the week. And for those of you tuning in later, okay, you can also post. I also want to encourage you guys, if you want to, okay, thank you. Yep. Okay. So I also want to encourage you guys, if you want to hear old sermons, you can go here on YouTube at Ask Ivy up in the Roots Revival playlist or anywhere that you can download a podcast. You can listen to us there. We are going to wrap up for today. Are we back next week? Is that accurate? We'll be posting.
Sure. Okay,
next Roots Revival. Wes has it. Next Roots Revival service is Sunday, September 4th. Okay. This is going to be back. I hate to admit it, but back to our fall schedule, right? So 8:30 PM Eastern, we will see you guys back here on Sunday, September 4th on YouTube and TikTok at Ask Ivy. Christina, Wesley, Spirit, everyone tuning in, thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you then. And we will be praying over your prayer and healing requests. Have a good week.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you.